Bloomberg on the Economy with Mike McKee and Carol Masser. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
We are pleased to have John Licata, the Chief Energy Strategist and founder of Blue Phoenix here. John, how are you doing today?
Hey, Joe. How are you doing today?
Good. Now, you know, I'm excited to have John on the program because during these times when investors have to reach out and seek yield, it's not always the macro play. You have to get into the nitty-gritty, roll up your sleeves, really don't be afraid to get a little dirty and find out what's driving markets and where the real profits are. You know, John, you've written some great research notes over the past couple weeks, specifically one that you released yesterday on uranium and why uranium may be a great play.
Well, thank you for saying that. I really think that the high enriched uranium agreement, which is set to expire in the middle of this year, is something that, although in some circles it's expected, I really believe that this is something that could be a catalyst, an upside catalyst for the price, not only of uranium, but also for crude oil. And the reason supporting that, Joe, is the United States roughly gets 500,000 tons from Russia under a program, the megatons for megawatts. And I believe Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, has really made a stance that they could use the uranium for domestic purposes because their Western Siberian gas fields have not been very good for them in recent years, basically due to lack of capital. That means that uranium could stay in Russia. Also, I think there could be a possibility of that uranium going to China because it could fetch more money. Therefore, that puts the United States in a very uncomfortable situation related to generated electricity, and I do believe that bodes well for the price of uranium. I believe we bottomed in the low 40 range, and we're starting to see an uptick. And I do think that can actually help the price of crude oil, especially if this ends up being some sort of supply shortage to meet U.S. demand for power.
Now, this is fascinating because this is a program that evolved out of the late first Bush administration, or Bush the Elder, was formalized in the Clinton administration. It was an outgrowth of the consolidation of gains after the end of the Cold War, where the U.S. was attempting to help, in effect, denuclearize the Soviet Union as it decomposed into different states. Over time, this agreement actually changed the structure of our own domestic nuclear market. That for me is just astounding.
Well, you know what, Joe? I mean, this is not just a program that's simply just coming to an end. This is a successful program that's coming to an end.
Exactly.
I think most listeners would be interested to know that basically 1 in 10 U.S. homes is actually powered by the nuclear that's been coming from these enriched warheads coming from Russia, which to me I find absolutely fascinating. So this program is something that I just think investors should keep an eye on. I think we can have a ripple effect across the commodity space, particularly in crude oil and refined products. And I think that as the United States is trying to recover economically in 2013, this is something that might put the pause button on a recovery later this year.
Now, over the horizon, do you think nuclear power is going to play a much larger role with respect to our domestic energy production? Or is the sort of lingering after effects of the Fukushima disaster just overwhelming what I would consider to be probably common sense?
Joe, I'd actually think that for the United States to remain as a superpower, we have to keep all lights on. Look at what just happened in India over the summer, and 10 million people had suffered a massive power outage. I had written a note on the Blue Phoenix a blog and basically saying that could happen here in the States. And obviously, post-Hurricane Sandy and living in the New York area, it's very possible that has happened here. Nearly 9.5 million people were affected. We can't remain a superpower if all lights are off, and therefore uranium is going to have a bigger role. And the Department of Energy has recently awarded a contract to Babcock and Wilcox for small modular reactor development, and that's less than 300 megawatts. I believe the small modular reactors, or SMRs, will be a much bigger story in years to come, basically because they're built in a factory, they're safer, and they could be put off-grid. So I think that's a story to watch. And also, last year under President Obama, we saw the first endorsement of a nuclear reactor in 30 years in this country. So I do believe that the bias has changed, and it's my viewpoint that there's no way the United States can meet 2020 carbon goals if we abandon nuclear. So this is just something to keep an eye on. If anything, I actually think that we're going to see more of a push forward in the nuclear space, and that's actually very supportive of the price of uranium.
So what are companies in the supply chain that would support the reconstruction of the U.S. nuclear industry? What are names that we should look at?
Well, Babcock and Wilcox certainly comes to mind, only because they recently got the award, which the clarification of the term has not been announced just yet. The Department of Energy actually met yesterday with the Nuclear Energy Institute, as per my contact. So we could be seeing some clarification of how much that contract actually was in a very short term. I will, you know, point out that there was actually two companies that were supposed to get an award, and thus far the DOE only announced one. So stay tuned for the other one, which, you know, it could be NuScale Power, which Fluor Corporation, publicly traded, does own have a stake in. So I think that's definitely one to watch. And Cameco is the bellwether in the space. It's very hard not to ignore the bellwether, especially since Canada has signed a deal last year with China to export uranium, and that could help Cameco reap about $3 billion in additional revenues in years to come. So I do think Cameco is something that is certainly one to watch as well.
Now, we got about a minute and a half left. I want to get real granular if we can. Tell our listeners what graphene is and why you think that's going to be a major play going forward.
Well, if you see what's happening with the CES, the Computer Electronics Show out in Vegas, most of the new products that are being developed are gadgets, if you will, that bend, electronics, devices that we can see TVs being rolled up. I find that fascinating because graphene, which is actually derived from graphite, I believe that this is an opportunity for the graphene market. Companies like IBM, Sony, Samsung, they're putting a lot of emphasis into this marketplace, and I just believe as we move forward in next-generation electronics, I believe graphene can be used in those products as well as in solar panels and energy storage. To me, graphene is a market that saw big interest in 2012, and I believe the upside is still yet to come.
Real quick, we got about 30 seconds. Is graphene a potential substitute for silicone?
I think it could be. I think most people would think that the majority of the electronics are used on silicon, therefore it can't be. But I do believe that the ease in making graphene simply can't be ignored. And I think if it's come down to economics, I think graphene could be a very, holy grail-ish material that the world's been waiting to see, especially after 2010 getting a Nobel Prize.
Okay, that's John Licata, Chief Energy Strategist and founder of Blue Phoenix, on the cutting edge of markets, science, and renewable energy.
Listen to Bloomberg on the Economy weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.